This is the memorandum presented to the Consulate General of Pakistan in Vancouver for onward transmission to the government of Pakistan, written on Friday, April 13th, 2012. Today, all the Sunni and Shia Muslims of conscience all over the world, especially in Pakistan, are mourning the victims of Chilas in Gilgit-Baltistan. This, however, is part of an ongoing series of brutal killings across the land that has tainted the recent history and image of the Muslim nation. These brutal killings span from Prachinor to Karachi, including Quetta and Di Khan. And this is just to name a few, as many other cities have also been affected. If in the past individuals were targeted, albeit well-known personalities of high standing in society, the current escalation points to open season, where groups of innocents are being massacred in the most gruesome manner imaginable. News of these ongoing crimes has reached us through community leaders, scholars, and in some instances, relatives. The government and private media are strangely silent about these attacks. We are forced to ask, is the government of Pakistan complicit in these crimes, or is it willfully negligent? We note the government took the following steps after the recent massacre of over 200 Shia Muslims in Chilas. It closed the main roads towards Chilas and Gilgit-Baltistan. And second, it disabled all means of communication and halted all flights into the area. Essentially, this provided cover for the criminals and placed the onus on the victims to seek shelter on their own. What was the objective of the above steps taken by the government? Not surprisingly, as in the past, none of the terrorists had been arrested so far. Instead, some of the most renowned ones are set free. We, the Sunni and Shia Muslim community members in Canada, strongly condemn the killing of innocent Shias. Those who have fanned sectarian strife in Gilgit-Baltistan recently and elsewhere in the past must be identified and held accountable, as must those who planned and those who pulled the trigger in the targeted killings. Equally urgent attention must be paid to contain the continued bloodletting based on sectarian identity throughout Pakistan. The government of Pakistan must take all necessary steps to arrest the culprits behind these killings, open the roads, open communication channels, and provide necessary protection to the community of Gilgit-Baltistan so that they can resume their normal lives as citizens of Pakistan. The following atrocities have been committed. Communication has been cut off between Gilgit and the rest of the world. This includes telephone and media. Approximately 200 Muslim Shias were martyred just in 3 days. The eyes of some 150 Muslims were gouged out and their face smashed with stones. The government has imposed curfew in Shia areas that has resulted in the victims of genocide being further oppressed by being placed under surveillance while the criminals are free. There are also reports of Shia leaders and workers being arrested. Ground and air transportation has been blocked to and from Gilgit. Due to a general strike, the general public is suffering shortage of food and water. Hurdles were created to stop Salatul Jummah in Jamia Imamiyah Masjid. We, the Sunni and the Shia Muslims residing in Canada, have gathered under one banner, regardless of our ethnicity, race, or sect, to demand these fundamental steps of the Pakistani government. End the killing of Shia Muslims in Pakistan immediately, and deliver adequate relief, medical, and other aid to the survivors and relatives of the victims. Take proper security measures to protect Shia Muslims and other victims targeted by these criminals in order to prevent further criminal activity. Bring the criminals and their masters, planners, suppliers, and financiers of this and all earlier crimes against the Shias and against humanity to justice to the full extent of the law by arresting and punishing them and taking proper measures to halt their criminal activities. Allow full media coverage to the victims and what they have suffered. Open all communication links, air, land, telephone, etc., for the areas where the victims reside. Thank you.
As you know, we are here, gathered here today, to protest the slow-motion genocide of the Shia of Pakistan. It should be noted that it is not only the Shia of Pakistan that are suffering. The Ahl Sunnah brothers and sisters, the Barelvi brothers and sisters and others are suffering in Pakistan as well. But the point that has to be noted here is that in this war against terror, And I'm not talking about the American war on terror, because that is a fake war. But I'm talking about a genuine war against terror, which is the war against the Takfiri group, which considers anybody that does not agree with them as non-Muslims and considers them as ones that can be killed. We all know that the Taliban in Afghanistan and Pakistan and Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and all these groups were funded, created, and backed by the US government, by the Saudi intelligence, and by the Pakistani intelligence. And now these groups have turned upon them in so many ways, like a dog that was fed by you, but has now turned on you and is biting your hand. And throughout this occurrence, throughout this history, we, the Shia of Pakistan, have been the first targets of these groups. And let it be known to you that we were targeted not randomly, not in an arbitrary manner. It is a well-known fact that the US government, the Saudis, and others who are in collusion see the Shia of Pakistan as a threat to their hegemony. They see the Shia of Pakistan as a barrier to their geopolitical aspirations. And the Taliban, whether they be the Pakistani Taliban or the Afghan Taliban, are nothing but a tool, a proxy. They killed 16 Shias in Gilgit just this past week. And they killed them in a manner that defies the imagination. They had people taken off buses. They had people taken off various vehicles. They lined them up. And then they asked for the ID cards of all the men. They separated the men from the women and the children. And then they had the men take off their shirts. And they noticed the men that had the signs of Matam, or the beating of the chest, that is the symbolic commemoration of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. They killed these men in front of their wives and their children, and they mutilated their bodies in front of their wives and their children. And we are gathered here today to tell these Takfiri forces, we are gathered here today to tell the Taliban, we are gathered here today to tell the American government, we are gathered here today to tell the Pakistani government that enough is enough. The time when you can kill the Shia of Pakistan with impunity is over. We are awake now because we are not a dead people. We are not a dead nation. We are a nation of Hussein. We are a nation of Abu Abdullah. And we will die, but we will not die silently. We will not die passively. We will die standing in front of you, looking you in the eyes, and challenging you to scare us with death, because we have never been afraid of death. Death is nothing to us. It is just a bridge to a better place.
I begin in the name of God, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I begin in the name of the God who is the helper of the oppressed.
I just want to give us a different perspective. I just want to tell you first what exactly is happening in Pakistan. Why are we gathered over here? What sort of killings are happening in Pakistan? 3rd of April, the year 2012, a group of gunmen, they stop a convoy of buses and they ask the people to disembark from those buses. And they ask them to take out their IDs. And they look at their IDs. And they separate the Shia Muslims from the rest of the people on those buses. And then what do? They gun them down in cold blood. Those who tried to run away were gunned down in cold blood. Some of them were bludgeoned to death with stones. Some of them were subject to acid attacks. Some of them were even drowned to death. And this is not a single event. This is a trend. It's something that has started from a long time ago. I want to give you an idea. January of this year, 58 people were killed. What was their crime? Their crime was that they were Shia Muslims. And because the world was silent, the media was silent, the authorities in Pakistan were silent, February 2012, 71 people killed. Why? Because they were Shia Muslims. And we remained silent. In March, 30 people killed. And in April, by the 10th of April, we have more than 100 people who can kill. And their only crime was that they were Shia Muslims. I ask you, where is the conscience of human beings? Where are we? Putting this in perspective, there has been an escalation of the killing of the Shia. It started by killing them in their mosques, in their places of worship. They were gunned down as they stood in prayer. They were burned with fire to death as they stood in prayer. And that wasn't enough. And they started to target Shia Muslim professionals, gunning them down. Leaders of the community, gunning them down. And that wasn't enough. Then they started to pick on common people, innocent women and children, as they travel from place to place, as they go to place for pilgrimage. And today, I want to remember their memory. And I just want to mention a few incidents. January 2012, there's a procession, a peaceful procession, like this one, organized by Shia Muslims, and a bomb is placed within them. As the bomb explodes, immediately 18 people are dead. Why? Because they're Shia Muslims. Three more people die later on, more than 50 are injured. February 2012, a convoy of buses is going from one place to another in Kohistan. They're stopped again, people are brought down, their IDs are checked, Shia, they're separated from the rest, and then they're gunned down in cold blood. 18 of them, or 25 of them, scores are injured. March, the same killing continues. Buses are targeted, they're shot at. And then comes April. And by the 10th of April, we have more than 100 people killed. Just this year alone, in 2012, more than 250 Pakistanis, Shias, regardless of their ethnicity, have been killed in Pakistan. And what was their crime? What was their crime? They were Shia. That's appalling. That's horrifying. But let me ask you, what is more horrifying? What is more horrifying is when we start asking, what have the authorities in Pakistan done? What has the military in Pakistan done? What has the civilian government in Pakistan done? What has the security apparatus in Pakistan done? Let me tell you what they did. When the massacre happened, they closed all the roads going into Gilgit, Pakistan. The victims are alone. The people are suffering in silence. No help is going out to them. All forms of communication have been closed down. We're not getting news of what's happening to them. The government hasn't allowed media coverage of what's happening over there. The awareness is not spreading. People are silent. Aid is not going to them. There is no security in place for them. You know, most of these killings, they happen near police stations, army bases, army checkpoints, and to date, the government hasn't got a single terrorist in there.
Allah Akbar! Allah Akbar! Allah Akbar!
In fact, according to the Asian Human Rights Commission, they state explicitly that it is very difficult to refute the fact that the authorities in Pakistan, the military in Pakistan, is complicit in the killing of the Shia. And I just have a few questions to ask them. A few questions of the government of Pakistan. Aren't the Shia Muslims as human as any other citizen of Pakistan? Even their lives, their aspirations, their property, their hope, their families, their health, as sacred as the health of any other person in Pakistan. Aren't they citizens of Pakistan? Haven't they helped to build the country? Haven't they established the country? Aren't they part of funding the country? Then why are you discriminating against them? If I can't read your conscience, I ask you to read your pragmatism. Today is the Shias. Tomorrow it will be the Sufis. The day after that it will be the Sunni Muslims who don't agree with you. When will the killing stop? Where will the killing stop? And we're gathered here to say, today, here, the killing must stop. And we ask for basic things from the authorities in Pakistan. We ask them, one, to take proper steps to ensure the security of all the citizens of Pakistan, regardless of where they live. Two, we ask that you open up communication with the people who are there. Three, we ask that you open up the roads leading to these places. Four, we ask that you provide security and you provide aid and relief to the victims of the massacres. And five, we ask you to apprehend these criminals and to put them behind bars. Labayka ya Hussein! Labayka ya Hussein! Labayka ya Hussein! As we end the program, as I end my talk today, we turn our hearts in prayer to our Lord, and we ask our Lord, O Lord, who has gathered today on a day which is a grief to us, and we ask you, Lord, that you support and you help our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. Lord, we ask you to grant relief to them. Lord, we ask you on this day to help the oppressed against the oppressor. Lord, we ask you on this day to grant patience and perseverance to those who are suffering in Pakistan. Lord, we ask you on this day to put the oppressor where they belong, to put them behind bars, and to put them in the path.
Pakistan!